call free will. When the first woman so innocently and blindly gave birth to those three, she unknowingly damned this world to disease, war, and death, to the eternal battle for this middle ground and the fate of all humanity. But, thanks to the gods who care about her kind and who took pity on them, the other four snake saras, or chieftains, remain supernally bound and contained, restrained, each with their own malevolent group they uniquely control as pawns in this eternal war to the one suzerain who leads them.
Cody inclined her head to Nick. The Malachi. Together with his six main leaders or generals, they made up the Usumgalu. Zev nodded.
And Nick, alone, can open the supernal realms and unleash the demons en masse into this world to take possession of it. The Malachi is also the only being who can summon the three of us from our prisons. Me, Livia, and Ir.
The eternal balance. Three of the Usumgalu remained in this world, war, bane, and death, while the other three remained in stasis.
No one save the Malachi can never unlock our gates. But it's not an easy task.
Nick frowned. I wondered about that. Why has no Malachi before me ever let you guys out?
For many reasons. One, it's too draining for the Malachi. There's always a risk that as soon as he frees us, one of us or another might kill him before he recovers enough strength to protect himself. Remember, he's usually a child when he inherits his powers, and he can't really control us. If he combines us, it would be easy for us to join together to kill or enslave him. So the best thing for a Malachi to do is to always put us down, like a rabid dog, as soon as he takes his father's life. Never give one of us a chance to go for your jugular. We will take it.
Nick glanced to Cody as a chill went down his spine. He knew how little regard and love Grimm and Laguerre had for him most days. He could only imagine how awful it would be to fall under their benevolent control. Why are you warning me about your friends? Zev rubbed at his brow as if he had a sudden migraine or possible brain tumor.
To begin with, they're no friends of mine. While I did share kinship with the original Malachi, we were born centuries apart. With the exception of you, I've only met a Malachi long enough for him to yank me from my hole, drain my powers, and return me to hell to recharge until the next fun summoning. As for the other Saras, we were enemies in wars where I took great pleasure in kicking the collective asses. So I barely tolerate them.
He straightened to glare imperiously at Nick.
I was born the son of Verlin and Azura, and fostered by Inari. Have you any idea of the power I once wielded?
Yeah, that would have been a lot. Zev passed a bitterly amused glance to Cody.
To give you an inkling, Gaucher, I was the only ancient god born who could kill a Thonian.
Nick's jaw dropped at that. The Thonians were virtually extinct now, but at one time they had been a race of god-killers who had once waged their own war against Zev's breed. Seriously?
Seriously. And all that power did was make me a target to everyone around me, for one reason or another. It never once brought me any kind of happiness.
His gaze burned into Nick with his sincerity.
I don't want to be you, Malachi. Hunted, hated, friendless, without haven. I don't want to be a part of this world, or of anything for that matter. I'm done with it all.
Zev's gaze hesitated at a picture on the wall of Nick's confirmation, where he stood beside his mother outside of St. Louis Cathedral. His eyes flashed red.
I will help you get your mother back. For the same reason I saved Nakoda. You were kind to me, and I don't believe in repaying kindness with cruelty. But honestly, all I want is to be left alone and forgotten. I have no use for this world, and even less for you.
Nick frowned.
You really want me to send you back?
He rubbed at his arm, where the ancient symbols of his curse were branded.
When you've lived without kindness for as long as I have, it becomes its own form of cruelty. It stings in its own unique way.
Nick despised the fact that he knew exactly what Zev meant by that. It was the same suspiciousness he had whenever someone complimented him. He was so used to being insulted that if, by some miracle, he actually got a compliment from someone, he analyzed it over and over to see if it was somehow a veiled insult instead. How sad was that? But he couldn't help it. The world had predisposed him to expect meanness from strangers. It shouldn't be that way, but it was. It was why Nick went out of his way to try and make people feel appreciated and important, especially those others tended to overlook. Streetcar drivers, doormen, vendors, janitors, bathroom attendants, maids, hobos, everyone mattered. Cody swallowed hard.
Can I ask a personal question?
Zev shrugged.
Sure.
Given that amount of power you were born with, how did they ever capture you?
Agony swam in the hazel depths of Zev's rust-colored eyes. His features turned to stone as a single tear slid down his cheek.
There's the bitterest irony of all. They unknowingly sent the only warder after me I would never harm.
Who? Nick asked.
The one life I wouldn't take.
And that was?
A life that mattered more to me than my own.
Nick sighed as he passed an irritated grimace to Cody and gave up on the never-ending hamster wheel loop of madness. It was obvious that even now, Zev had no inclination of sharing that identity with anyone. Whoever it was, he intended to let no one use them to hurt him again. He could respect that, too. Given that, Nick changed the subject.
So, which of the gates do you control in this smorgasbord of fun-filled nightmare holocaust?
The prison realms of the cursed gods, both good and bad. I can bring them all back into play and return them to war against each other.
Cody gestured toward the window.
And the Mehmetim? Who holds their key?
The souls of the dead are controlled by Eire. She's the one who would have unleashed them against Caleb.
Cody went pale.
Nick saw her earlier.
What?
Nick nodded. In the hallway at school, right before Caleb got sick.
And neither of you mentioned it before now?
His tone betrayed his outrage.
I thought I was hallucinating.
Zev arched one arctic blue eyebrow.
You do that a lot.
Here, lately, more than I want to cop to. Let us not forget that I just got back from an alternate universe. While I like to think I'm adjusting pretty well to that, I do still have some lingering issues.
Zev cursed under his breath.
But the gates were sealed shut after his father died, Cody insisted. Caleb wouldn't have made that mistake. He knows the severity of those consequences.
Zev ignored her outburst.
Are there any other hallucinations I need to be aware of?
Aside from you, the cat that drinks up all my milk in the middle of the night while I sleep, suicide crows, ghost riders in the school hallway, killer mosquitoes and plague doctors, I think we're covered, unless you want to count the rampaging teenage werewolves.
He glanced over to Cody.
Oh, and the ghost girlfriend, of course.
Plague doctors,
Zev scowled.
What are plague doctors?
Nick snorted.
That's all you got out of my rant, really?
Cody ignored him.
Zeitjagers.
Why were they here?
Shaking his head, Nick shrugged. No idea. They didn't exactly speak, just stared at me, like my mom at a parent-teacher conference where I royally screwed up. And speaking of, none of this is getting me closer to my mom. I'm thinking we should go see Mark and find out what happened as soon as possible. He peeked through the curtains. So how do we get rid of or through Psycho Daffy Duck out there? Cody turned toward Zev.
Nick is still in charge, right? He can stop all this from getting worse?
Yes, and no. You have to remember, he's not the only creature who can call out Armageddon. He's only one of them.
Zev grimaced.
Granted, he's a very scary one. but he's not the only threat the world has. And we don't know who or what started this. It might be someone after him, or another entity entirely. Someone or something we haven't even thought about yet.
Nick was so beginning to hate this day. Look, I don't want to be a threat to anyone except who or whatever took my mom and hurt Mark and Caleb. I'm an easygoing Cajun, live and let live, laissez le bon temps rouler, that's my motto. I just want to live my life in peace. He paused.
After I kill whoever took my mama. Zev snorted. Unfortunately, with your parentage, it doesn't work that way. But I agree. We need to speak to your strange, homicidal duck urine friend about what happened.
Can we teleport past the Memetim? Cody asked Zev.
We should be able to. The worst thing is they might follow the scent, thinking we're Malphas.
Then buckle up, Buttercup. Let's see how bad I screw this up this time. Nick took Zev's arm so that he could flash the two of them to the hospital, since Zev wasn't familiar with the layout of the building. Sad to say, Nick had been there enough over the last couple of years that he was rather intimate with it. Even so, teleporting was still a risky move, but given the weather and the crows, he didn't want a chance driving there while being dive-bombed by piranha birds. As soon as they were clear and had materialized at the hospital, Cody appeared right behind them, inside a small broom closet.
Nice choice.
Yeah, I was aiming for a bathroom and missed.
Oh, well, at least it wasn't the lobby, and no one's needing therapy from having seen us appear out of thin air. Remind me, I really need to get one of those flashy things they have in Men in Black. That could really come in handy for embarrassing mistakes.
Nick glanced down and smiled.
And look, I'm fully clothed this time. Awesome, I can be taught. Sobering from his rampant sarcasm, he opened the door and checked the hallway to make sure it was clear before he stepped out and motioned for them to follow. So far, it wasn't too bad. They might survive to make it to dinner. Nick hoped for the best, but prepared himself for the worst, just in case. Pulling out his phone, he called Bubba, who answered immediately.
Boy, where the devil are you?
He looked about on the drab walls for their location.
Floor 3. Where are you at?
ER. Looking for your sorry hide. I swear, you done worried me to death, taking at least 10 years off my life.
Oh, don't worry, Bubba. I didn't take them off the good end.
You ain't funny. Now where are you?
Nick headed for the elevators.
We're on our way. How's Mark doing?
Bubba hesitated before he answered.
Why are you asking about Mark?
I know about him and my mom.
Nick led them into the elevator. We heard it on the radio in the ambulance on the ride over. Bubba let out a tired breath.
I didn't want you to find out like that, Nick. I'm sorry, son.
Thanks. So how's Mark doing?
They busted him up pretty good, but as soon as they get the x-rays back, they'll release him. Just want to make sure there's no internal damage. What about you? I asked, and they said you weren't even here.
I'm fine. Just worried about my mom and Mark.
Nick stepped out of the elevator and paused.
We're here. Where are y'all?
Bubba came out a few seconds later to lead them to Mark's room, where he lay with one arm in a sling. His blonde hair was brushed back, and one side of his face was swollen and red. Whatever had attacked him had gotten the best of him, and then some. He rubbed sheepishly at his injured arm.
I'm sorry, Nick. You know I wouldn't have let nothing happen to Charisse if I could have stopped it.
Nick inclined his head to him.
I know.
So what happened to you two?
No idea whatsoever. I just opened the door to let Charisse into the Jeep when I heard something shriek out like a banshee. One second I was on my feet, and next I was dating asphalt. I don't even know what hit me. I saw nothing but thick darkness, like the ground rose up and Jack slapped me.
Nick groaned silently. This told them nothing. They were right back where they started. Nowhere. And still, his mom was out there, unprotected, alone. He couldn't bear the thought of something happening to her. All his life, she'd protected him, guarded him with everything she had. Now he felt completely responsible for her, especially since he was the primary reason she was in danger. If he wasn't her son, no one would ever target her for harm.
I've got to find her. And yet, in a strange way, he didn't sense that she was in imminent danger.
He couldn't explain it, He had an overwhelming need to find her, but at the same time there was a part of him that seemed to know she wasn't under immediate threat. It was such an odd sensation, one that made his skin literally sizzle and crawl. It moved as if it were alive. Yeah, this was a weird, funky feeling that defied description. Suddenly his phone went off. Nick glanced down at the ID to see who it was. "My boss," he said to Cody and Bubba. "Gotta take it." Stepping out of the room, he answered the call. "Where are you?" Kieran's stern tone was undercut by a note of hostile concern. "Hospital." That only elevated his boss's worried tone. "You okay? What happened? Why are you there? Were you hurt? Was there an accident?" It took Nick a second to realize that Kieran wouldn't have any idea what had happened at school or with his mom. His concern came strictly from the shock of hearing that Nick was in a hospital. Period. "My mom was kidnapped and Mark was assaulted while she was taken."
"What?"
Kieran's roar was deafening.
"When did this happen?"
"Right after school started."
"And you didn't call me?"
"I thought you'd be sleeping."
"Nick!"
"Kieran," he duplicated Kieran's agitated tone. "No offense, boss. There's not a lot you can do this time of day." As an immortal dark hunter, whose job was to protect mankind from the soulless daemons who preyed on them at night, his boss had a nasty tendency to burst into flames should daylight touch any part of his body. "Not like you can come out and check on me. It's fine, really. Bubba's right here by my side."
"Still,
I can call Asheron and have him..." "Really, it's okay. Why are you calling anyway? You should be asleep." Since daemons preyed on humans at night and Kieran couldn't be in daylight, he usually slept all day and didn't wake up until about an hour after Nick showed up for work after school. "The weather woke me this morning, and when I checked my phone for voicemail, I saw the notice about the Squire alert at St. Richard's. I wanted to check in with you, make sure I didn't have to start looking for a new Squire. I hate that crap. Hard enough to deal with you. Last thing I want to do is start breaking in a new pane in my keister. Gah, I'd have to change all the locks in the house again." Nick smiled in spite of the awful day and Kieran's feigned surly tone. He'd gone from having no one look after him to an extended family that still amazed him whenever he stopped to think about it.
"Bad news. Still alive, boss."
Kieran scoffed irritably at Nick's light tone.
"Don't worry, kid. I'll get the squires looking for your mother, immediately, and Asheron. As soon as the sun goes down, we'll all be on it."
"Thanks. We have absolutely no leads on where to begin hunting her. Any help would be greatly appreciated."
"We'll find her."
"Yeah, but in what condition?" That was the nightmare that was currently haunting him while he was awake.
"Thanks. Appreciate it."
As Nick hung up the phone, Cody approached to rub his back. Closing his eyes, he savored the warmth of her touch. His fear and anger churned inside him, and he needed her to ground him right now. He wasn't sure what he'd do if she wasn't here to keep him calm. "Kieran's contacting Asheron." He felt her hand tremble at the mention of her uncle. Asheron had no idea who Cody was, which made sense, given that she wouldn't be born until centuries from now. They couldn't let Asheron know either, especially since his brother, Cody's father, was currently being held by Artemis in a hellish prison. It would totally wreck Asheron's world. For that matter, Nick couldn't imagine how hard it had to be for Cody to be here in this time with her loved ones who had no idea she was related to them, knowing that if they didn't change things, she'd lose them all over again. That if they made one wrong move, she'd never be born at all. It was enough to make him lose his mind whenever he stopped to think about it. How could she stand to be near him, knowing he was the sole reason they would one day die? That he, alone, would one day single-handedly wreck her entire life and everything in it? Cody's capacity for love defied explanation. It made no sense to him. He doubted if he could be so forgiving in her place. She had every right to kill him. But then that was what made her so incredibly special. What made her hold a part of him that no one else ever would. Like his mother, she was a creature of pure light. One who never failed to warm him, no matter how beat down or cold he felt. They could always make him feel better, make him feel important, make him feel loved. and cherished. Heroic. Cupping her chin in his hand, he leaned down to press his cheek against hers and inhale the warm vanilla scent of her skin.
What am I gonna do, Cody? What you always do. Fight with everything you have. No matter what they throw at you, over, under, around, or through, there's always a way.
Your enemies will not take mercy on you. The world will not take mercy on you. Therefore, I will not be doing you any favors if I take mercy on you. He laughed at something her brother used to say to her. It was something her brother had learned from their father.
Love you, Code.
Love you, too.
Rubbing his arm, she stepped back.
You want me to contact Suriel and see if they know anything?
He shook his head. Let's keep the heirloom out of this for as long as we can. If they don't know anything, I don't think we should notify them. Might stir them up, make them do something stupid, because while I like to think I own the majority share of that, it's the part I don't own that others do that keeps me up at night, terrified of what they'll do with their portion of it.
Good point.
Nick glanced into the room where Bubba and Mark were. Guilt gnawed at him as he saw Mark's condition. They were both innocents, who'd been caught in the crossfire of his screwed-up life. Cody and Zev were right. His enemies would never take mercy on him. It was why he had to be so careful who he allowed into his circle, ever on guard of those he loved best. So long as he was around them, they were all in danger, and only a tiny handful of them really knew why. The rest, out of necessity, had to be kept in the dark. Zev came outside.
So what's our next move?
Before Nick could answer, his phone rang again. It was Caleb's number. Worried his condition had worsened, he clicked it on to find Livia on the other end. What is it?
I found her, Nick.
What?
Your mom. I just got her home for you and put her to bed. She's asleep, with no idea what happened to her.
Relief slapped him so hard, he staggered back from it. What? How?
I played a hunch, and it turned out to be right.
Nick pulled Cody against him and let out a nervous laugh.
Liv found my mom. She took her to the condo. They're there now. Oh, thank goodness. Is she okay?
Yeah. For the first time since he'd left school, he felt good again.
Thanks, Livia. I owe you. Think nothing of it. I won't let her out of my sight until you get here. Believe me, nothing's going to happen to her on my watch. You can trust me.
Again, thanks. I'll be home soon. Nick hung up and stuck his head back into the room to let Bubba and Mark know.
Thank you, Jesus, Mark breathed. That's the best news I've heard since the garage told me my Jeep wasn't doomed from that electrical fire started with my cell phone wire that short-circuited.
While that might sound odd to most, that was a statement of supreme love from Mark, who had an unnatural attachment to his old, beat-up Jeep. Bubba ruffled Nick's hair. How you holding up?
Much better now that I know she's safe at home. You?
Much better now that I know I'm not going to prison for first-degree murder for killing whoever took her.
Nick laughed. I hear you.
Bubba nudged him toward the door.
Y'all go on. I know you want to check on your ma as soon as possible, see her with your own eyes. Tell her I'll be over to Bugger as soon as I get Mark home and tuck him in.
Thanks, Dad, Mark said sarcastically. Can you mop the drool off my chin, too, while you're at it?
Bubba ignored him. You need any money for a cab? He asked Nick.
No, we got it. Stay in touch.
You too.
Heading out, Nick texted Kirian and Asheron to let them know that everything was okay on the home front.
You sure? Kirian texted back.
All good. Mom's safe at home. It was a false alarm.
Good to hear it. I'll pass it along to the squires. Let me know if you need anything else. Rosa's on standby, too.
Thanks, boss.
As Nick started to slide his phone into his pocket, he got a text from Asheron asking about his mom. He paused in the hallway to answer. I'm on my way to check on her.
AR, keep me posted. PN, there's an ill wind blowing. Keep it at your back, Cajun. Call if you need anything. Pax.
Nick returned his phone to his pocket as another weird feeling went through him.
one that raised the hairs on the back of his neck again. For a second, he thought he saw another Zeitjager, as the time on the clock showed 11:34. Cody frowned.
You okay?
Strange feeling in my gut.
I'm really learning to dislike that phrase.
Yeah, he wasn't a big fan of it either. She held her hand out to him and Zev.
Let's go see Charisse.
Nick placed his hand in hers and let her take him home. At first, he didn't see or hear anything. The condo was completely still and quiet. Only that special fissure in the air that was unique to a paranormal entity let him know that there was something out of place here. And since the only creatures who could penetrate the barriers were those he approved, he knew it had to be Livia. Nick rushed to the bedroom to find his mom lying on her side in the bed, fast asleep, in jeans and a white blouse. Livia sat in the corner. She smiled as soon as she saw him.
Ah, so glad you're home. As you can see, she's fine.
Nick stopped her as Livia started to leave. Wait. She rematerialized with an arched brow.
Yes?
Where did you find her? Who took her and why? Closing the distance between them, Livia placed her warm hand against Nick's arm and whispered in his ear,
I hear things others don't know I do. Even though I'm risking my life to return her to you, I owe you more than I can ever repay. It is my honor to serve you, Malachi. But if I were you, I would be very careful who I trust her with in the future, who you put your faith in. You can never be too careful.
The bad feeling in his gut worsened. What have you heard? She blinked quickly and glanced about nervously before she whispered her answer.
I can't say exactly. Just be careful. You have many more enemies than even you know.
Is that what happened to Caleb? Livia glanced past his shoulder to the hallway where Cody and Zev waited.
We should talk later.
And with that, she vanished. Grimacing, Nick went to the bed to make sure his mom really was okay. He sank down to his knees by her side before he reached one trembling hand out to touch her soft cheek. It took all of his strength not to gather her into his arms and hold her there in a steel grip like King Kong with Fay Wray and dare anyone to ever try to take her from him again. Her eyes fluttered open.
Nicky?
Hey, Ma.
She frowned at him.
What are you doing here, baby boo? Shouldn't you be in class?
They let us out of school early. Weather knocked out the power. She sat up and looked around.
Is our power out, too?
Don't know. Didn't test it. Just got home and came looking for you. For the first time, he let out a real breath before he launched himself into her arms and held her close. Holding him tight, she rubbed his back and rocked him.
Nick, you okay, baby? Something happened at school?
Yeah, I'm all right. I just missed you.
Missed you, too.
Laughing, she kissed his cheek.
Not sure why I went back to bed, though. Last thing I remember was fussing about the milk. Then I was going for the paper. Must be getting old. Losing my mind.
Nick snorted. You're not old. That's just me aging you before your time. He winked at her. By the way, I have friends from school with me.
Usual suspects? Caleb and Cody?
Cody and Zev.
Zev? The cute, sweet, bashful boy with that lovely accent and extravagant hair.
He smiled at her kind description of Zev's unorthodox appearance that had been known to make others scream and cross the street whenever they saw him for the first time. Some had been a lot more cruel, which was why Zev preferred to stay in his cat form for the most part. He only appeared human around Nick, Cody, and his mom. Leave it to his mom not to judge Zev on anything other than his character and heart. That's the one.
Well, just don't make a mess. Do you need me to do anything for you?
Stay safe. Don't ever get hurt because of me.
But he could never say that out loud. Nick shook his head. Nah, we're good. You rest. He stepped away from the bed and closed the door before he returned to the living room where his friends waited. Cody looked at him expectantly.
Well?
She remembers absolutely nothing. Her last memory was when I went to school.
Zev moved to check on the windows and see if the crows were still there.
Where did Livia find her?
She wouldn't tell me. Only that she'd overheard some things she wasn't supposed to and found her that way. Cody screwed up her face. What could she have possibly heard?
No idea. Cody looked at Zev, who in turn shrugged. I've only spoken to you and Nick.
He paused before he spoke again.
And while I don't mean to downplay this matter with your mother, I think we might have bigger problems at the moment.
Nick groaned as even more dread filled him. He really was going to give birth to a diamond before all was said and done.
What?
Zev stepped back and opened the curtains for them to see the dark clouds and clear sill. There was no longer a single bird in sight.
The Mehmetim are gone. Given our luck, I'll take odds. That means they've found Caleb's location and are currently in the midst of making lunch of him.
Chapter 7.
Nick would definitely take those odds that Caleb was currently the main course of a Mehmetim hoedown feast, but he hesitated to go after Caleb, even to protect him and leave his mother alone again. Unlike Caleb, his mother wasn't a warrior demon, she was human, completely defenseless in their world. Could this be another trap? Cody gently nudged him toward Zev.
Go. Protect Caleb. You know I'd die before I let anyone take your mother. I'll call Simi and get her here. Nothing will get through the two of us, you know that. We are the epitome of the immovable object and unstoppable force in one team.
Only then did he relax and incline his head to her.
You're the best. Remember that the next time I annoy you and you want to break up with me.
Laughing, he gave her a quick kiss before he and Zev flashed to Caleb's antebellum mansion. In the elegant black-and-white marble foyer, they could hear the storm outside slamming against the windows. Everything was dark and creepy as lightning flashed and crows cawed. Shattered glass and puddles of water littered the floor. The decapitated head of a stone angel statue lay near the wall, where it must have landed after being flung through one of the shattered windows and shutters. Its soulless eyes stared at Nick, as if accusing him of not being here for the fight. Where the heck was everyone? It was so incredibly sinister and quiet, he couldn't detect a single living soul inside the house. Terrified they were too late, Nick took the stairs two at a time until he was inside Caleb's bedroom. Frowning, in sudden confusion, he froze at the doorway and took in the peculiar scene. Caleb was awake and on his feet, weak, pale and shaking, he stood in the corner, holding his ancient demonic battle sword with Livia in front of him. They were alone in the room with the crows dive-bombing the windows, trying to break in, and Caleb egging them on, with every bit of stupid bravado only a demon on the verge of collapse could pull off and still sound badass while doing it.
"Thank the gods it's you," Livia said between her ragged breaths. "I thought the Mehmetim had finally broken through his protection spells. I've been so terrified of what we would do if that happened. Oh, Nick, once again, you're my hero."
Zev scowled in distaste of her melodramatic praise as he glanced around the walls that were alight with the ancient oils and symbols Caleb had used to seal off his property from his enemies. Snarling, Caleb angled his sword at Zev.
"What's he doing here?"
His disgusted tone likened Zev to the fecal matter of a dung beetle's tick.
"He came with me to make sure you were all right."
"Yeah, I bet. You sure he didn't tell the Mehmetim where to find me, and then lead them over here just to ensure they didn't get lost on the way over?"
Zev winced at the accusation. Ignoring Caleb, he closed the distance between him and Nick.
"I'll get out!"
Caleb's voice wasn't human as he stepped around Livia. It carried the full weight of his demonic power.
"I don't want you here."
For a moment, Nick thought Caleb's powers had returned, until Caleb tried to blast Zev, and nothing happened. Instead, Caleb fell back against the wall, dropped his sword weakly, and slid to the floor. Gasping, Livia went to him to help him up.
"It's okay, Malphus.
I won't let anything happen to you. Nothing will get through me.
His expression stricken, Zev sighed as he clapped Nick on the back.
I'll help guard your mother. See to Caleb's safety.
He vanished, but not before Nick felt him strengthen the shields around Caleb's house to keep the Mematim at bay. There was also a mysterious and powerful blast that made the crows shriek and scatter in the storm. One he knew came from Zevacon. Snorting at Zev's twisted retribution and his insistence on protecting Caleb, even though Caleb continued to curse and insult him, Nick went to help Caleb back to bed.
"Where's Zavid?" Livia shook her head. "I don't know. He was gone when I returned."
Weird. It wasn't normal for Zavid to go out on his own. Like Zev, he wasn't exactly a people demon, and he didn't have much more than the most rudimentary understanding of the human world. Modern man baffled him, so he typically avoided all interaction with them like a social plague on his crotch. Gaming was about as close to humanity as he wanted to come. Even then, he only gamed with Caleb and Nick.
"I'm just glad I got back when I did," Livia said, as she tucked the covers around Caleb. "Another minute, and I think they'd have penetrated his barrier and had him."
Caleb grimaced as he shifted in the bed.
"Where's Cody?"
"She's with my mom."
He grabbed the front of Nick's shirt in a deceptively strong grasp.
"Keep her safe."
"That was the plan. I'm not intending to sacrifice her to an ancient god anytime soon."
Nodding, Caleb let go and passed out with a sigh.
"Wow," Livia said as she covered him with another blanket. "Cody means a lot to him, doesn't she?"
"How do you mean?"
"Just that I've noticed how much care they take of each other, how much time they spend together. Whenever Cody's not with you, she's over here, sequestered with Caleb. Even late at night, they seem to really care about each other. I wish I had someone who cared for me like that. It must be nice."
He'd never really given it much thought, but now that she mentioned it, they were together a lot. And in spite of his concerns about her possibly betraying them one day, Caleb did watch over Cody with a great deal of concern. Nick glanced at the bed as a bad feeling went through him.
"No, it was a stupid fear.
While Caleb could be a serious horn dog when it came to those of the female persuasion, he tended to go after a specific type of woman who was older and much less wholesome-looking than Cody. His girl was definitely not Caleb's type at all, not even a little. Besides, neither Caleb nor Cody would ever cheat on him like that. Would they?
Heck no.
Refusing to let that seed be planted in his mind, Nick scowled at Livia.
"So what did you want to talk to me about?"
She took his hand and led him from Caleb's room. When she spoke, it was in the lowest of whispers.
"I want you to be careful, Malachi. There's so many out to harm you. I don't think you're aware of exactly how many enemies surround you on any given day."
He bit back a laugh. She was definitely wrong about that. "I think I have a pretty good idea."
"Do you?"
She gestured at the damage the Mematim had done to Caleb's house.
"Then you're aware that Caleb is looking for a way to break free of his service to you?"
"Yeah, okay, that one caught him off guard. He'd had no idea."
"What?"
She nodded.
"I think it's what weakened his protection barrier and allowed them in. He's been summoning stronger powers for some time now in an effort to find someone who can reclaim his soul from you. It could be why he has no powers now. I'm thinking he might have traded them off for it. If you were to die while he's essentially mortal, he'd be freed from what binds him to your bloodline."
"Could that be true?" Nick swallowed hard at something that really wasn't all that far-fetched. Caleb did want his freedom, even bad enough to die for it. "He didn't tell me that."
"Of course not. Why would he?"
Livia bit her lip.
And I could be wrong, but I find it strange that all of this started after he supposedly sealed the gates for you, don't you?
Her dark eyes sad, she shook her head.
You know, if someone were to take you with his help, they could easily free him as a reward. I know Noir or Azura would be eternally grateful and more than happy to show their appreciation with just such an act.
Nick's frown deepened as he considered what she was saying. Could there be any truth to it? Would Caleb sell him out? She sighed heavily.
I'm so sorry, my lord. I don't mean to upset you with such possible truths to consider when everyone lies to you. I know it must be hard.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, first you find out that you're not human, that the woman you thought was your benevolent godmother is a goddess in disguise who hid your birthright and bound your powers from you without your permission or knowledge, that your father was never what you thought. Instead of a human criminal, he's a demon hiding amongst them, that he wants you dead so you won't take his power from him. Then you learn that your friend Caleb isn't a friend in school, but a demon sent by your father to watch over and kill you if necessary before you drain his powers from him and take his place as Malachi. That Nakota is a girl sent by your enemies to carve out your heart and deliver it to them before you can claim your birthright to fight them, as is your full right. Your own mother kept the real truth of your birth from you. She let you think that she cared for your father, instead of telling you how much she hated him and what really happened between them. Is there anyone in your life who hasn't lied bitterly to you?
He winced as she laid bare just how unbelievable his life and conception had been. Truth really was stranger than fiction. If he'd put this in a book or movie, no one would have ever believed it. Some days he still didn't. But she was wrong about one thing. There was always one person he could count on for the truth. Bubba, he said defensively. She arched a brow at that.
You sure?
Well, he was until she gave him that evil look. Now, I'm positive. But his tone belied the insecurity she'd created. She laughed.
You're so sweet and naive. It's what I love best about you.
Yeah, right. That he knew better. Naive was a word no one in their right mind could ever apply to Nicholas Ambrosius Aloysius Gaucher. Please, I was born jaded, with serious trust issues where the world was concerned. No one pulled the wool over his eyes. A slow, insidious smile curved Livia's lips.
That's what you think, but trust me, you're way too innocent for your own good.
How so?
Bubba said he'd never hurt you, that he'd always look out for you, no matter what. And now he's dating your mother. How do you think that'll end? He put his own selfishness above your best interests. Sooner or later, all things come to an end. He will hurt you. You both know that.
Stepping away from Nick, she bit her lip seductively.
When this affair with your mother implodes, and it will, you won't ever speak to him again, because it'll be too painful for your mother for you to have a relationship with him. So the only real father you've ever known will be ripped out of your life. Bubba knows that. You know that. Maybe it's what he really wanted. Maybe he wanted you gone and just didn't want to come out and say it.
Those words slammed into Nick. Could there be any truth to that? Could Bubba truly want him out of his life? Was it possible that he was nothing but a nuisance to the big guy?
And what about Mark?
She asked.
Do you really think he enjoys playing babysitter to you all the time? They're grown men, Nick. You're just an annoying little kid. And you're not even theirs. You're nothing to them, just a Klingon they can't get rid of.
He ground his teeth as those words stung him hard. She was right.
He'd had those fears in the past, but hadn't wanted to believe them. Now,
then there's your boss, Kyrian, the 2,000-year-old Greek general who hid that truth from you of what he really was, servant to the goddess Artemis. And don't get me started on the secrets Acheron keeps. He's not just a dark hunter, Nick, nor an Atlantean. He's an ancient god. Yet he would die before he ever allowed you to know that about himself. And when the day comes and you find out the truth, you will become his worst enemy. He will condemn you to death for your knowledge. And that curse is what will set you down the path you can't divert, that very path you're trying so hard to run from.
A shiver rolled down his spine as she confirmed something about the ancient Atlantean he'd long suspected, something that Acheron had deflected with great skill any time Nick had tried to ask about it.
As I said, you are surrounded by liars you can't trust. People who constantly lie to your face. They all keep massive secrets. Why? Because they're not your friends, in spite of what you think. They don't care about you, Nick. Not really. If they did, they'd tell you everything and keep nothing from you. But they don't want you to be close to them. They don't want you to know them or the truth because you mean nothing where they're concerned. You are nothing.
The truth of those words bit him deep inside his heart. But he refused to let her know she'd hit her mark with them. He wasn't the kind of guy to ever give that power to another person. He kept his hurt to himself. Only Cody and his mother were allowed to see his pain. I need to check on Zavid.
Someone else who speaks one truth to your face and another behind your back.
What? He gasped before he could stop himself. What does he say?
He doesn't trust you either. He thinks you're weak. A mama's boy who can't tie his shoes without her help. He pities you.
Offended, Nick glared at Livia. So much for keeping his emotions in, but this had blindsided him. He'd had no idea that Zavit had felt that way, especially since Nick had saved his life.
I'm not the one who said it, she blinked at him innocently. I'm just telling you this for your own good. You should know how they really feel, what they say when you're not around. I would never treat you that way. I think too much of you to do that.
Biting her lip, she stepped closer to him.
I know what it's like to be alone and to have no one to trust, to have nowhere to turn.
She stood on her toes to kiss him. Nick stepped back before their lips met. While Livia was a very attractive female, she wasn't the kind of girl he was interested in, and he'd never hurt Cody like that. He wasn't that kind of guy, and he had no intention of ever being that type of slimeball. Hearts were sacred things, and when someone entrusted theirs to you, it was your duty to keep faith. Nick had no intention of breaking his honor for anything. I need to find out why Zavid left Caleb alone.
Malachi!
He ignored her call and kept going. Every molecule of his body told him to put as much distance as he could between them as quickly as possible. For once, he listened. He had to think through this without hearing her voice in his head, alongside the ones that told him how worthless he was. Nick ran the rest of the way down the stairs and out the door, looking for Zavid. The moment his feet hit the street outside the protected barrier, the Mamatim attacked like screaming, lovesick fangirls all over their latest fixation. Cursing, he threw his hands up and zapped them away from him. Demons, please, I ain't your hell monkey. Really, don't have time for this. The one nearest him had the nerve to hiss like a cat.
The Malachi protects Malthus. Why? We served you well. And here you dare to side with our enemy after he betrayed us all. How could you?
Nick was aghast at his fury. First, you don't serve me. You fought for some ancestor I don't even know the name of. Dude, for real? Put that card back in the deck. It ain't gonna win this round. Second, Caleb fell in love and walked away from that war you're talking about. Who can blame him for that? You're the ones who came at him when you should have just left him in peace to live with his wife and be happy. If you didn't want him to kick your butts, you should have stayed at home. That's on you, not him. the leader, Memetim, cawed loudly.
He knew our secrets, to betray them to our enemies. We could not suffer him to live with such knowledge when he could destroy us.
And you knew his assured mutual destruction. Again, you could have chosen to leave him alone, yet you didn't. Fair's fair. You came at him, he defeated you. Now grow a set and deal. Let him be.
They rose up again into a dark cyclone to attack Caleb's barrier. But at least they were no longer after him. Nick wasn't sure if he should be happy or not. Weary and sick, he sighed at their stubborn determination.
Do I have to banish you back to whatever hole you crawled out of, for real? This is what you want to do with your freedom?
Their answer was to continue their assault. So, yeah, this was what they wanted to do with their newfound lives. It made no sense to him whatsoever. Why would they continue down this path when they could do something positive or constructive, like get a beignet, grab some coffee, get a girl, and have some happy private adult fun time? Why choose death when they could choose life? Weren't there girl raven demons for them to pursue, really?
Stunned at the waste, Nick stood back in the storm to watch them as they flew in wave after wave against Caleb's protection barrier. He wasn't sure if he should be appalled or impressed by their raw, single-minded determination. It also said a lot about Caleb's power that it could hold even while he was drained. Still, he felt bad for both sides. The Memetim for not being able to let it go after all these centuries, and Caleb for not being able to move on because of their obstinacy. Why dwell on the past when you have a perfectly good tomorrow to look forward to screwing up? Mark's favorite saying went through his head. There was definitely something to be said for that, especially while watching them pursue their madness. They were so focused on Caleb that they'd destroyed themselves trying to strike at him. Was it worth it? Definitely not.
God, I hope I'm never that stupid.
'Cause let's face it, I basically hog all the dumb most days. But there was nothing he could do to help them with their idiocy today, and right now he had a renegade demon who might be neck-deep in trouble and needing his help to locate, a mom to guard, funky weather to avoid, and a strange mystery to solve. He stared at the Memetim. How do I get rid of those? And again, he had that off, hollow feeling in his gut that something wasn't right, that his time was running out. All of a sudden, the Memetim scattered, as if terrified. Yeah, that had to be a really bad sign. Nick cringed at the omen as more lightning flashed, narrowly missing him. That was stunning, but not as much as the beautiful teenaged girl who stepped out of it and eyed him with great curiosity. Completely dry, in spite of the weather, she had rich caramel skin, with dark hair that fell in intricate braids around a perfect face. But it wasn't her beauty that made his senses stir. It was the amount of power that emanated from her. This was a Praetor of unparalleled source power. If she announced herself to him as Azura, he wouldn't be surprised. Her powers were that strong. Dressed in a short skirt and a halter, she met his stunned expression with a shrug as she approached him with a slow, seductive walk.
You wanted them gone. They're gone now.
Yeah, but he wasn't quite sure he should be thanking her for it, or running in the opposite direction and screaming like a kindergartner on Benadryl who'd just met Freddy Krueger. His gut voted for the boogeyman bolt. Who are you?
She smiled. Don't you know?
Not a clue. She paused beside him to sniff at his shoulder and hair. Kind of creepy. Yeah, he was leaning even more toward the boogeyman scenario.
You are the Malachi?
Nick hesitated at her tone that was almost insulting. Even so, when a being this powerful asked that question, it was never a good idea to give a straight answer.
Maybe?
Cupping his face, she pressed her cheek to his and took a deep breath.
You are not Monocrebos.
That was the name of the first Malachi who'd been cursed.
She must know a lot about his kind to have the given name of his ancestor. Most had no clue about that. Or, like Zev and Caleb, she was older than dirt. Nick hesitated. Technically, he was the Ambrose Malachi, but he was superstitious about taking that name yet. Even though it was correct, it just seemed like a really bad idea to call down that kind of mojo right now. The longer he could keep from becoming the monster he was destined to be, the better. Nick. Pulling back, she curled her lip. That's a stupid name for a Malachi. What fool named you? Excuse me? My mother is a wonderful lady. Her brow shot up, and Nick remembered too late that Malachis were supposed to hate their mothers, not defend them. You still haven't told me who you are. Cocking her head, she studied him with a scowl. How can a Malachi so powerful not know me on sight? Maybe because he still hadn't quite mastered all of his powers? But again, he wasn't about to own up to that when dealing with someone who could mop the street with him. Are you Irre? It seemed the most reasonable guess that she'd be the rider who'd almost mowed him down in school. It made sense. They were both dressed in white, came out of nowhere, and left him totally baffled. She shook her head and laughed. Do I look like that cow-faced dog? No, she looked pretty hot, actually. Hot enough to get him into serious trouble if Cody caught her standing this tight to his personal space. Nick stepped back. She followed. With an adoring expression, she brushed her hand through his hair. Do you not feel your connection to me? He only felt a traitorous part of his body that wanted to be connected to her, but he knew better than to listen to that part of himself. It had a mind of its own that could get him into all kinds of nightmares if he let it. Not sure what you mean. Yes, you do. You know exactly of what I speak. You feel the blood that tells you who I am. Nope. I feel nothing. Except the urge to get away from her before she got him into all kinds of trouble no amount of apologizing could get him out of, not even a shiny object from Jared's. He'd meant what he said. He would never, ever break Cody's trust or her heart. Not intentionally. Nick froze mid-step as a peculiar image went through his mind. He saw the girl in ancient armor, wrapped around a multi-headed dragon, an inherited memory that came from one of his Malachi predecessors. In that instant, he knew the goddess's name. Tiamat. She inclined her head to him. See? You do know me. Sort of. And one thing he knew about her. You're supposed to be dead. Her laughter rang like music in his ears. No one can kill something as powerful as I. You only change my state of being. So why have you summoned me from my slumber, Malachi? A chill went down his spine at that question. I didn't summon you. Scowling, she gently fingered his cheek. It's always about you, Malachi. Haven't you learned that yet? Besides, who else would dare disturb me? Someone with a death wish? She laughed aloud at that. You're a cheeky one, aren't you? Not at the moment. At the moment, though, it pained him to admit it, even to himself, he was rather afraid. This was one of the most dangerous of the Chaos Gods. She had birthed more monsters than Echidna. Come to think of it, she might have even birthed Echidna. He never could keep all that mythology straight. Lowering her head, she stepped back as if she was listening to the ether voices that constantly drove Nick crazy whenever he tried to understand them. Her eyes glowed a deep, scary red. She dropped her hand from his face. As much as I would love to stay and chat, I have much to do and little time to work it. Before he could blink, she was gone. Rain poured down over him as soon as she was gone. Crap, he had a bad, bad feeling deep in the pit of his stomach. Suddenly, everything around him stopped. Even the rain. No, not stopped. It froze in place, like a painting.
Nick turned a slow circle as he tried to make sense of what was happening. He felt so out of sync with everything, out of time. It was like being in the nether realm or the darkness that existed between dimensions, only he wasn't lost or misplaced. He was in his time and correct plane, just not lined up right. Like a cog that was ever so slightly misaligned. And then he felt it. That presence that had been missing for so long. Ambrose?
Find the eye.
It was the faintest of whispers.
What?
What eye?
The eye of Ananke.
Ambrose appeared to him as nothing more than a mere translucent shadow with red eyes. The only way he knew for a fact it was him was the faint outline of Artemis's double bow and arrow mark on his cheek. It marked the spot where the Greek goddess would one day remove his soul from him. That familiar red demonic gaze burned into Nick.
I shouldn't have tried to reset the past. We were born a damned abomination that should never have been conceived.
His breathing labored. Ambrose fell to his knees on the sidewalk beside him. He looked up with an expression of woeful abandon.
Listen to me, Nick. You have to find the eye and follow your true course. The one we were meant to follow before I screwed up so badly. Fast. That's the only hope we have. You have to stay true to our original course. Trust me on this, please. Do not stray from our path.
For a moment, his eyes turned to the shade of blue Nick saw reflected in a mirror whenever he gazed in one.
Of all the mistakes I've made, the one I regret most is robbing you of the years where you were able to dream of normality. At your age, I knew nothing of Kyrian's world, of dark hunters, ancient gods, and werehunters. I was just a stupid kid with stupid kid dreams.
He laughed bitterly.
I thought I was gonna be a fancy uptown lawyer. That I'd have a wife and kids.
His eyes returned to red.
I'm so sorry I took that from you. I just wanted to save us. Give us something to hope for.
Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, Nick said, quoting his mother's favorite saying. And many are those who enter through it. But the gate is narrow, and the way is straight that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Ambrose snorted.
It's why there's a highway to hell, but only a single stairway to heaven.
He looked up at Nick.
I've lost the war. By fighting, I only made it worse. Find the eye and reset our course. We have to go back in order to move forward. It's the only hope we have. The riders are out, and they're about to take you down, little brother. Move fast, with purpose, or we're both lost. There's so much you have to do that I can't even begin to tell you how to fix it, but the eye can.
He rose slowly to his feet.
I won't be able to help after this. You're on your own.
Nick gave a short half laugh. I'm good with that. I came into this world alone, and that's how I'll leave it. I was born standing up and talking back, Cajun proud and Cajun strong from my first breath to my last. Wings shot out of Ambrose's back as he changed from human to full Malachi form. His skin marbled red and black as his eyes turned to full-on Pret. Fangs and claws flashing, he grabbed Nick's jaw in his fist and tilted his head until they locked gazes.
We are Malachi above all else. Now and forever. Never forget that.
Throwing his head back, he let loose a horrific